Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you as a community and body of believers. Father, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds as we dive into your words. And Father, that we may just worship you with all that we have, remembering who your Son is and what he did on that cross for each of us. Father, may we seek you. Father, we also ask for a blessing on the offering that you present us. May we use it well. May we use it as you have instructed. And may we be good stewards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children of the King, sing, Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you. We are here for you. Our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem. God alone, from before time began.
Can I get all the kids to come up? And I'm going to do the children's lesson. So you guys want to come up and just sit down in front? All right, lots of kids this morning. That's awesome. And parents, if you want, you can come up too with the kids. All right. Well, this is kind of a lesson for maybe the older kids and adults, but ultimately it's for all of us. All right. So, who here has been to a movie? You guys been to movies? Yeah, I went to a movie with my daughter. She's right back there. We went and saw Need for Speed. All right. How about a play? I proposed to my wife at this play. And I love the Cubs. If you go to a baseball game, you gotta get what? You gotta get a ticket. I love going on deep sea fishing trips. Got a big fish the last time. Here's a ticket stub for that. Ripley's, believe it or not, a museum ticket stub. I've flown out to Maryland to see my daughter there. And my other daughter's back there. I went and saw her at a concert. What do all these things have in common? You have to get tickets to get in, don't you? Yeah. So there's all kinds of things we need tickets for. They won't let you in without a ticket. You have to buy a ticket. Well, hopefully your parents will buy it for you. But, you know, one day we're going to have a chance to get into heaven. And we will have a chance to walk the streets of gold and see all the great heroes of the Bible. But in Romans 3, 23 and 24, it talks about how we can't get in there by ourselves. So we don't have that ticket. Do you guys know who has the ticket? Who paid for that ticket? It's Jesus Christ. So, you can talk with your moms and dads about that, but Jesus paid for us to get into heaven, so we want that ticket. to get into heaven. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that each one of us here today will realize that we need the gift that you've given us in Jesus Christ, and that he is our ticket into heaven. And I just simply pray that we all will carry that in our hearts and that we will remember that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Let's give it up for Jeff. Thank you, brother. All right. So what I need to do next is, because I missed doing this last week, I need all the board to come up front here. We need to install our new board for the new year. So if I could have all the board members come up front, it'd be greatly appreciated. Whilst we're waiting on them, I missed an announcement in the bulletin that is very important. Awana is back in action this Wednesday night. So don't forget to come on out. It'll be a great time. And from what I'm hearing from the kids, they're ready to be back. And I'm honestly ready for it too. So, we got everybody? I think everybody that we've got. Something's smelling over here, or is there a reason we keep shifting? By the will of the Holy Spirit, speaking through the voices of this congregation, is that each of you may serve as a leader in your various responsibilities and ministries here at the church. This is a holy calling that demands love, faithfulness, dedication, and a lifestyle of servitude and witness. We wish today to give you an opportunity to pledge yourself to those responsibilities and to permit ourselves as a congregation to promise our willingness and trust in your leadership. It is good for us to listen to the Apostle Paul today and remember these things as we take this pledge. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, it reminds us, "Therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk with worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope in our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. To each of you, do you promise to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received, doing your best to keep the unity of the body through Christ our Lord Jesus, seeking the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of our Heavenly Father? If so, signify by saying, I do. And do you, members of this congregation, promise to be loyal to these leaders whom you have chosen, uplifting them in their calling with prayer and unity with them in service to Christ and the church? If so, signify by standing. By signification by the congregation and the Holy Spirit, you have been installed as the officers of this congregation. May God grant you wisdom, power, to be worthy servants of your calling, in the name of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one who stands here in front of us. Father, I ask that you just bless them with extra wisdom, that they may seek you in all the decisions and guidance that they make here for this church. Father, may they just remember the calling that you have placed on their lives, and that they may be an example to each one around us. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. We have a good group of a board, let me tell you guys. I'm very thankful for them. I've worked at some churches where the board hasn't been as fun to work with. And they genuinely care about each of you and this congregation. And we're blessed on that end. Well, I want to say good morning, and I'm thankful for each of you that are here this morning. I'm thankful for those who are joining us online and on the radio as well. I'm glad you could join us. And I also want to do a special thank you to Pastor Johnny for taking the pulpit last week and allowing me a little rest after the Christmas season. That was a fun time, but thank you for that. Before we get into the message this morning, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to study your word, to learn and to grow. Father, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Father, I ask that you also open the hardest of hearts this morning, and that we may seek you, and that we may allow your word just to penetrate. Father, that we may know you in a greater way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are starting off our new series called The Life of Christ. This is not going to be a short series. It's going to be a little bit of time to get through it all. We're going to be using all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're going to be looking at Jesus' life in chronological order and what it means. And from time to time, we'll see where the crossovers happen and how the different areas in the Gospels and the different accounts are done. This is a great way for us to dig deeper and to learn who Jesus truly is. You know, growing up, I used to hear a term called WWJD, okay? For those of you who are not familiar with that, it's an acronym that stands for What Would Jesus Do? And I think it's a question that we find ourselves often pondering, especially when we face different situations in our lives. What would Jesus do in that moment? There are hard moments that can really push us at that moment. As a Christian, we should have a desire to answer these decisions with what Jesus would do, to live a life that reflects Jesus and that shows the world Jesus. Yet we live in a world that has a ton of noise constantly going on. We find people quoting Bible verses, often to try to help make their point. They like to go down to one little area. They have different contexts, and they take Scripture out of context, picking and choosing the few that they like. And let's be honest, even some of us in here are guilty of that at times, where we have taken a passage to make it sound the way we want it to sound, or we'll say, well, Jesus never would have done that, or that's not what Jesus would have meant at that time. But what we want to do is look at the fullness of Christ through all of it, so that we can answer it in such a way that we can say, this is what Jesus would have meant. This is what Jesus said. This is the example that Jesus gave us, because we are called to imitate Christ in all that we do. If we look over to Ephesians 5, what we'll find in the first two verses, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. We are called to live a life like Christ. If we don't spend time with him, if we don't spend time in prayer and in his word and studying and seeing how he reacted to stuff, seeing how he lived life, how are we ever to know what he wants from us? How are we to ever know what direction that he's asking for our lives? So as we start off into this series this morning, we're going to be over in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be at verses 39 through 52. You know, here we're going to find the story of 12-year-old Jesus going to the temple for Passover, which his parents went with his parents, but he actually ends up being left behind, and Jesus, and they have no idea, and they end up taking about 3-4 days to track him down. There's not much said about Jesus and his upbringing in the scriptures. In fact, after Jesus is born, which we looked at that back on Christmas just a couple of weeks ago, the passage that we're looking at this morning is the only other part of Jesus' childhood that's really talked about in the scriptures. Now, there's some books out there that claim to have a little bit more facts after Jesus is born, and have a little bit more information about his childhood. Those books should be taken with a grain of salt. Let me explain why this morning. Those books were written several hundred years after the life of Christ himself, where what we count as the New Testament, the Gospels that we have, and the epistles, the letter of the epistles after that, were all written by firsthand accounts or interviewing people with firsthand accounts. So that we know we can trust them, we know what they were through. They represent, and if we read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, what do we see? We see a consistent God through the entire picture. There isn't this changingness. The more you study, the more you see this beautiful picture that God painted. These other books do not fall in line with that. And they're so far removed from the first century church, and that's why we don't go to them. They're entertaining reads at times, don't get me wrong. I have looked through some of them, but I do not recommend them to look at Christ's early life. But today, on verse 39, this picks up right after Jesus' birth, his temple dedication that every Jewish boy would have had to go through on the eighth day of life. It's also where it's also when we would have been officially named Jesus. So, in verse 39, it says, when they had completed everything according to the law, them being his parents of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. It's at this point that Joseph and Mary had done everything they needed to do. They were counted in the census. Jesus had been born, the miraculous birth that we just celebrated. The circumcision was completed on the eighth day, as required by Jewish law. Jesus' name was officially given. Purification would have been carried out. Jesus was the firstborn, so he was presented and dedicated under the law in a special ceremony at the temple. Joseph and Mary heard special blessings and prophecies, if you recall from reading through there, about their son and several other people in the Bible recorded. And what they did is they stored them away in amazement as reminders of what God was doing. Now the young family had returned home to their life in Nazareth, not a fancy life. This would have been a traditional Jewish life. The Bible gives us no indication that Jesus grew up any different than the children of his time. What we do know is that spiritual training for Jewish children started at a young age. If you recall, Paul wrote to Timothy about how his mother had instructed Timothy from an infant on in God's word. See, it was common for Jewish children to learn scripture starting at the age of 5. The Mishnah, also known as the Jewish law, would have been taught at age 10. And learned to fulfill those laws by the age of 13. And after that, they would have learned the Talmud, which was the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament. Their Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, is their Bible. Think about that. How many of you guys have a good understanding of the Old Testament? They would have not only known the Old Testament, been able to explain the books in each little section, they would have learned the commentary behind it. They would have learned all those details at such a young age. You know, raising your children was something that both parents were called to do. In Deuteronomy 6, there's a command for the parents to teach their children in the ways of Scripture and to bring them up in the ways of God, down to the point that the worth of a Jewish father was measured based on how he raised his children in the eyes of God. I think we often underestimate how much kids understand, how much they can remember. Never think it's too early to start teaching your children about things of God. Reading them Bible stories, teaching them to pray, helping them remember passages can do nothing more than bless your child as they continue to grow. And it's also never too late to start if it's something that you aren't doing currently. In verse 40, it says, the boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. Jesus grew physically, he grew spiritually, he grew mentally. I don't think many of us have a question on how Jesus grew physically. As he got older, he would have gotten stronger. He would have had to gain strength just simply because he got older. You know, look at a 5-year-old versus a 10-year-old. There's a difference. Look at a toddler versus, maybe the toddler isn't the right action. Some of them got a death grip on. But watch over them. But he would have had to learn. He would have grown. He would have helped his earthly father, Joseph. He would have learned Joseph carpentry skills. And he would have just grown in that physical way. He would have grown in height. He would have grown in muscle and all of that. I think where it says there in verse 40 that he became strong, I don't think we question that. I think we can understand that part. But the other thing in the passage that it tells us is that Jesus grew in wisdom. He says he was filled with wisdom. Think about that for a minute. Wisdom is different than knowledge. Let me explain that first. Wisdom is applied knowledge. You have to have knowledge before you can have wisdom. I know many people who know a lot about different stuff. They have a lot of knowledge, but they show no signs of wisdom. We know Jesus would have grown up learning the knowledge of the Bible. He would have learned the knowledge of the traditions of the Jewish faith, just as any other Jewish child would have. But it tells us that he was filled with wisdom, which means he knew how to take those passages and apply them to life. He knew what they meant. He knew what the reason for it was. He had an ability to apply this knowledge and give wisdom. You know, as I paused on this passage as I was preparing this message. And the reason is, how could Jesus learn if he was God? Doesn't God know everything? Yet here it's clear that Jesus is learning. Think about that for a minute. You know, I think we can actually answer this, though. In Philippians 2, 5 and 7, it says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity when he had come as a man. Jesus never stopped being God, yet he gave up and willingly surrendered, even emptied himself of some of the things that it meant to be God. Think about that. He emptied himself of some of the things that it means to be God. He took the form of flesh. He gave up certain aspects that would interfere with him being able to live as fully man. One of these things would have been the knowledge of everything at that moment. He had to go through that learning. Jesus, though he was the Son of God, he was also human. He would need to learn the Bible, learn theology, just like all of us do. A big part of being a human is learning, is it not? We need to learn to eat, we need to learn to walk, we need to learn to talk. We need to learn how to read and write. These are all parts of being a human. And he had to trust his heavenly Father to guide him as he walked here on earth. He had to trust the Holy Spirit to show him the truths as he went, just as we need to learn to do. This can be hard to grasp, don't get me wrong. This can be difficult. Just know, whether you understand it or not, Jesus did grow up just as we do. He had to develop just as we do and experience life just as we do. He was able to do all of that, yet he was able to do it without sin. I don't know how many of you guys have ever thought about that, on how much Jesus had to empty himself just so he could live that life that we could not. It tells us in verse 41 that every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now, as a child of a faithful Jewish man, Jesus would have gone to the temple 3 times a year. He would have gone for Passover, Pentecost, and shelters. This is something that all Jewish males would have done with their families. Each year, as Jesus grew older, he would have learned more and more about the history and the worship of God. You may be wondering, why is this so important that we learn these things? Why is it so important that we understand that Jesus did this every year? It shows us that Jesus was able to keep the law where no one else was able to. It shows us that Jesus was able to do what we could not do, and that he could prepare himself to become the perfect sacrifice that we needed to put us back in the right standings with God. It tells us in verse 42 that when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the customs of the festival. Here we see Jesus and his family going to Jerusalem again to fulfill what God expects of them. Yet this year was different. This one was special. You see, this would have been Jesus' 12th year. This would have been his last year as a child to go. The next year, he would enter the community as a grown Jewish man. During his trip, he showed that he was more than ready to enter this next chapter of life. Just as any child, Jesus would be showing some signs of independence. Independence is not sinful. It's something every child needs to go through so that they can grow into becoming a healthy adult. It tells us in verse 43 that after those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. One commentator put it this way: absorbed in such preparation, Jesus did not realize until his parents had left, Jesus would have been preparing for his bar mitzvah that would have happened when he turned 13. The ceremony that would have put him in with the Jewish males and made him recognized as one of the Jewish men. We may be wondering, how did his parents miss him? One, we know that he was growing and showing signs of independence. They just assumed that he went with them in the group. It tells us in verse 44, assuming that he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey and they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. First, I want to point out, if you've watched Home Alone, when there's a large group of people, it is very easy to miscount one of the kids. Okay? And have you ever turned your back for a minute at the store and had your child disappear? You know, had your child just up and disappear. His parents just assumed that he was there with family and friends, and they were traveling with them, and they were journeying back to Nazareth, and that there would just been a couple days journey for the walk. They just assumed Jesus was with them. I remember my parents were scared of losing us at one point, and I hate to admit it, but they put the leash system on us kids as we walked around, okay? Don't do that. That's embarrassing. So... Now, I know what some of you guys are thinking. I've never done that. I've never lost a child. I mean, how irresponsible of Joseph and Mary going an entire day without knowing where their son was, knowing that their son wasn't with them. You know, I come from a large family. I can see this happening. It has happened. This would have been aunts and uncles. This would have been cousins. This would have been a large traveling group. This would have been 5 or 6 people. This would have been a very large group. From my grandmother down on my dad's side, there's 400 of us. When we get together, we take off and we go with our cousins, our own age, everything else. Even as adults, we still get together with our age group of cousins. So I can see how that could happen, where the parents just sitting there saying, oh, he's running around with his friends and cousins and everybody else, and they're traveling. It happens. And we got to remember, Jesus would not have been an only child at this point. We know in the later scriptures it talks about Jesus' younger siblings. So Mary and Joseph would have had their hands full. It wouldn't have just been one child. But when it came time for them to come back together and sleep at night is where that panic would have set in. But when they realized that they could not find Jesus, can you imagine what went through the minds of Joseph and Mary? One, you know there was someone giving them the side-eyed glances. That always happens at these moments. Wondering, how could they lose their child? Second, the panic would have kicked in. Not only did they now lose their child, they knew what Jesus was promised to be. He was the coming Messiah that they had been looking for years and years. I mean, hundreds of years. God trusted them with this responsibility, and they lost him. They lost God's son. Can you imagine what they were thinking at that moment? The miraculous birth, everything else, they knew what it was. There had to be this panic in them. I can't even imagine what all went through their heads at that moment. But it tells us in verse 45, when they did not find them, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And in verse 46 says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking the question, if you can't find your child, would the church be one of the first places you check? Because that's where they found Jesus. They found him in the temple. See, it was customary for the teachers to meet in public in the temple, discuss religious and theological questions. It was a place where everyone could sit and learn, listen and learn. That is where they find Jesus. Basically, they find him in a Bible study where he's sitting there and he's being instructed. And all those who heard him, in verse 47, it says, all those who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. People were impressed with what Jesus understood and his answers. See, it's easy for us to get to the point at this moment to say, well, he's God. Of course they were impressed with his answers. You know, he wrote the book. So, you know, they could get this mindset. But didn't we just learn earlier that Jesus had to learn like we have to learn? That Jesus would have had to study like we have to study. That he would have had to grow up like we have to grow up. Jesus got to that point by spending time with his heavenly Father. Jesus got to that point by reading the Word and trusting the Holy Spirit within him. It teaches us he studied it. He spent time reflecting and asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Throughout the New Testament in Jesus' life, we see him over and over going to the Lord in prayer, going to the Father in prayer, asking for guidance. Did you know the Bible tells us that if we ask for wisdom from God, he will give it to us and that he will give it to us abundantly? When was the last time you asked God for wisdom of understanding of his word? You know, as we're going through this series, I want to point out when God does something that we can apply to our lives. And here's a prime example that Jesus took that time to study God's word himself. Though he himself is God, he showed us what it means to be that Christian. He walked everything out as he expects from us, even down to the point of studying God's word, to lean in on the Holy Spirit, to grow in wisdom. That it wasn't just something that was handed to him, that was something he worked at just like we're called to. It tells us in 48 through 50, when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I'm sure they were. "Why are you searching for me?" he asked him. "Don't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" And verse 50 says, "But they did not understand what he said to them." See, Joseph and Mary were understandably a little upset at Jesus. I mean, he had been missing for a couple of days at this point, and I'm sure they were a nervous wreck, and they searched all over, and they probably assumed he was out looking for them as well, only to find him calmly sitting at the temple doing a Bible study. I can't blame him for being a little upset. So when Mary said, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously searching," we can understand why she said that. We can understand her frustration at that moment. Jesus' answer of, "Don't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" We see from his question that Jesus gave them an answer, and it shows that Jesus was clearly understanding that he was not just the child of Joseph and Mary, but that he was the Son of God himself. There's so many things that Jesus could have done while he was here on this earth. He could have become a king like David, but he didn't do that. He could have gone around healing everybody who was sick. He could have fed everyone that was hungry, gave money to the poor. And though he did some of those things as he went around, that wasn't his only target. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And that's why he had to spend time with his Father. Don't get me wrong, God wants us to do all of those things. That's why we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, so that we can stand up for the weak, so we can feed the hungry, we can clothe the poor. But Jesus understood his number one assignment was to make a way for us to be restored to the Father in heaven. And that was the will of his life. He came to give us eternal life. Those other things are important, but if we don't have a way to the Father, the rest of it's pointless. What good do we do if we can't spend eternity with our Father in heaven, if those around us can't? Do you know why you're here? Do you know the calling that God has placed on your life? Each of us have a different role that we play in the body of Christ. Each of us make up a different piece of the puzzle. For some of you here, it's to help the sick. It's to feed the hungry. It's to give money to the poor. Maybe you're called to teach. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Don't get me wrong, we're all called to do many of these things, but the Bible is clear on that. But some of us have a greater passion and a specific purpose from God. And if we let ourselves get sidetracked from that purpose by doing other things, we'll never actually accomplish God's will. If we don't spend time in God's word asking him for guidance, we'll never know what that will is. We'll never know what that assignment is. I know God has placed me here to preach the gospel. That is what he's told me to do. To teach the world about God
And it's an incredible honor. But it could very easily get sidetracked with side projects and side things to do. Do you know your calling? Do you know your calling? Do you know what God is wanting you to do? Have you spent time like Jesus did in his word, in prayer? Have you spent time in a Bible study? Are you gathering with other believers to encourage you to work through what that calling is? Or is this the only time that you get into God's word in a week's time? If it was good enough for Jesus, isn't it good enough for us? If Jesus was able to go through all of that and he's giving us direction, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Shouldn't we be searching out? It tells us in verse 51 and 52, then he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. How did Jesus do it? By constantly seeking after our Father, by asking the Holy Spirit, by reading his word, and by meeting and being able to be teachable. I pray this morning that you guys are teachable, that you guys seek out God's wisdom, that this doesn't just become a thing that you do on Sundays, but it becomes an actual relationship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. Father, we thank you for the example that you gave us in Jesus, that Jesus came and lived a life just like you and I. Father, we thank you for giving us someone to look to. We thank you for your word. May we not take it for granted. Instead, may we dive in and see what you really said and see what you really did. And may we live a life that exemplifies it to the world around us, showing your love and grace to each one we run into. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
When life piles up and you're feeling overcome, stand still and believe. I won't let you drown when a cry is in your throat. Watching always below, lift your eyes to the sky. Trust that I won't pass you by. Fear not, I could say it any louder than I would. Fear not. I could say it any louder. Let me show you what I see. You can't treat you before me. So get up, get on your way. We've got things to do today. And I, if I could say it any louder, I would. And I could say it any louder. Oh, remember all I told you, remember all I said. When the questions start arising, keep your eyes fixed straight ahead. Hold on tightly to the promise, hold firmly to the truth that I love you. Oh, I love you. Fear not, if I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not, if I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not, if I could shout it any louder, I would. Fear not, if I could shout it.
Love that song to close out. May God bless you as you go this week. May he make his face shine upon you, and may he give you rest, and may you guys seek his word for wisdom and guidance. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.